Thank you, brother, that I don't know your name. Appreciate it. Brother piano player. Amen. I knew I was random, but I wasn't that random. Amen. I appreciate him helping me out. I want to say, while you turn to the book of Amos, chapter number 3, Amos chapter 3, I want to say while you're turning, thank you so much for allowing us to be here, Pastor. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the basket with no fruit in it. Amen. The gift from my little boy, the gift from my wife, all the meals, the fellowship. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship over the dinner table with the pastor and Brother Tim and the family. And we've just enjoyed being here this week. And we have been refreshed being here. And I thank you for it. And I want to say this. Thank you for having Jubilee. I talked to a pastor today in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He found out where I was preaching at this week. He said, would you please tell that church? He said, I come every year. And he said, and it kicks off my year the right way. And I promise you, there's going to be great rewards for Gateway Baptist Church because you've kept, through the power of God and letting God use you, you've kept a lot of preachers in the ministry. And I'm telling you, around Christmas time, around that first time of the year, sometimes it gets discouraging as a pastor because everybody spends their money on Santa Claus. And things get discouraging, but it's good to come in. And I'm glad you have it the time of the year you do, because it gets my year started off right. And I come whether I'm booked or not. Amen. Number one, I'm coming to eat. Amen. And just enjoy the fellowship. And I just appreciate the goodness of God. And I appreciate your pastor. He ordained me. I was on my ordination council, and I don't take that lightly, and I appreciate that. He knows much better preachers than I, but I'm so honored to get to be here this week. I appreciate Brother Tim. He's a blessing. He's made buddies with my little boy this week. My little boy loves Brother Tim, and so I appreciate him, and I appreciate this church, and I'm glad that I got to come, and sometimes in Jubilee, you don't know who's Gateway and who's not. I'm glad I got to meet Gateway this week. And I appreciate you so much. Amos chapter 3, and let's read verse number 11, verse 12. Let's stand together again. I know you had you stand a minute ago, but we'll do Christian aerobics, praise God. Amos chapter 3, and I'll be honest with you, I struggled today on the message, and until about 5 minutes ago, I was debating between two. And so I'll tell you like I tell my church, if we get into this one and it don't go, we'll go somewhere else. Amen. If that don't go, we're going to get to the restaurant a whole lot earlier tonight. Amen. Amos chapter number 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sweet presence we already feel in this place tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the good week we have had. Thank you how every night, Lord, you've given us something different. And Lord, I've been helped this week. And Lord, I hope that we have been a help to this congregation, to this pastor. Lord, I pray, Lord, you give us that anointing. I pray you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with thy spirit tonight. Give us that anointing that every man's got to have to preach the word of God effectively. Save that soul near as hell tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reverence and reading of God's word. I'll be honest with you, if your Bible's like my Bible, when you get over there to them minor prophets and Haggai, where he's at Monday night, now we're in Amos, your pages are stuck together. And I said it Monday night, it's not a minor prophet because of its importance in the Scripture, because all the Bible's important. The Bible said all Scripture is given the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished. Amen. I thank God for all the Bible. And as I was studying the other night, just prepared to preach to our church, and I was thinking about this verse here in the book of Amos. And you understand, if you'll stay with me, it's going to take me a little bit to get where I want to get. But Amos prophesied during the final days of the northern kingdom of Israel. They said during that time, it was a time of great military power. They had great finances, great economic prosperity. It was a time of peace and joy and happiness. But too often, just like America, the spiritual condition of the land
man was in bad shape. I'm telling you, America's never had more than what we have now. We had the nicest cars and the nicest homes and everything, and people seem to be happy, but I'm telling you what we're missing God in this land. And can I say this? I'm not trying to get political, but it ain't going to take an election to get God back in this land. It's going to take revival. Yeah, man, that's exactly right. I got some friends of mine put all their eggs in the election, and they're saying if we can get somebody in, they'll turn this country around. The only thing that's going to turn this country around is old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-sent, heaven-sent revival. Amen. And America's in a rough place, and we always talk about America being in a wicked society, but my Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. The reason America's in a bad shape, but I believe because the church quit praying. We started getting political instead of praying and preaching. Can I get amen out of that? I'm telling you, God's people stand the tallest when we're on our knees. And that's what happened to Israel during this time. Yes, they had great economic prosperity. Yes, they had joy and happiness. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have God. And I'm afraid there's churches all over America today. They've got the money and they've got the show and they've got the pomp and they've got the popularity. But they don't have God in their services and they don't have a touch of God in their lives. I don't want to be in that spot. And here's what Amos begins to speak. In fact, Amos does not have a thrilling, encouraging message. Rather, it's a message of judgment and condemnation, saying God's going to judge your sin. Now, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. If you go to sleep on me, you ain't going to get none of this, all right? But right in the middle of this message on judgment, I find a beautiful picture of the grace of God. Let me say this. I understand I'm lifting this out of its context. I understand what it's talking about in Israel. I've studied this out. But the Bible said that these things were written for our admonition. And as I begin to look here in Amos chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, I saw a picture of the gospel and I saw a picture of my salvation experience. Let me say this. I am glad I'm saved. I'm glad I have a time and a place. April the 9th, 1997, I went down a beggar and coming up a millionaire, praise God. And as I begin to read this, I saw, and I want to preach on this thought tonight just for a moment, on the gospel according to Amos. The gospel according to Amos. You find here that there is a beautiful picture. There are three characters in this text. There is a lion, there is a shepherd, and there is a lamb in this text. And I want to look at those three individually tonight, and we'll go eat. Number one in this text, I see the aggressiveness of Satan. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Now stay with me. You're going to get this in a second. But we find that there is a lion in this text. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is on the prowl tonight. I see three things about this lion. Number one, I notice the tracking of Satan. The Bible said in verse number 11 that there was an adversary round about Israel. You understand in the Bible, Israel is a picture of God's people. And let me say this, we are God's people tonight, and I got news for you. The hounds of hell are encircling us and trying to attack us and trying to get us to fall and trying to get us to mess up. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. You've never read Job chapter number 1. For you remember when the sons of God presented themselves unto God, that Satan showed himself, and God asked him, where have you been? And he said, from walking up and down in the earth and up and down in it, to and fro. And God asked him, I'm paraphrasing, he said, you been by Job's house? He said, yeah, but you got a hedge around about him. Let me say this, time out right here, but I'm glad there's been many nights, no doubt, that the devil and his demons have walked around my house, but God had me hedged in. Amen. And I know God will lift that hedge from time to time, but aren't you glad that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? And the devil is tracking you tonight. I got news for you, for the married couples. He's tracking your marriage tonight. He wants to bust it up. He wants you to end up in divorce. He's tracking your young. The Bible said in the book, in Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, Lord, how they are increased that trouble me, and many they are that rise up against me. The devil's doing all he can to rise up against you, and he wants to destroy your life. There's the tracking of Satan, but then I find also the terror of Satan. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'll be honest with you. Just the thought of a lion roaring out in the open ought to bring fear in your heart. The lion's the king of the jungle. Unless you believe Tarzan is. I had to get some of y'all to laugh. Amen. And that lion causes terror. We took my little boy to the zoo back a few weeks ago. We wanted to visit some of our relatives. And don't laugh. We saw some of yours too. Amen. Saw some political figures. But anyway, we just walked through there and I wanted to see the lions. And they didn't roar that time, but I've been there when them jokers have. I've been across the park and heard them begin to roar and the hair standing on the back of my neck. Because that roar, you know what they tell me if you watch the National, I like watching, y'all ever watch Shark Week on National Geographic? I was watching one last night and this guy got his leg bit off by a shark. Why? He was videoing. It was great. I mean, but anyway, I like watching those documentaries about those animals. And they say a lion, when he's tracking his prey, when he's tracking an antelope and there's a big crowd of them, he'll roar. And when he roars, it'll scatter that group. And one will get isolated. Let me say this. When you isolate yourself, you're an open target for the devil. We've got too much of this Lone Ranger mentality. I need you. And whether you believe it or not, you need me. I got to have the fellowship one with another. And that terror that Satan brings. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not scared of the devil. You're crazy. You're crazy and you're headed for shipwreck if you ain't scared of the devil. The Bible said, and I know we ain't jumping and shouting like we did the last couple nights. That's what God put in my heart. Stay with me now. But I'm telling you that the terror that Satan brings, the Bible said that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He don't want to be your buddy. He wants to be. And you young people better listen. I preached it last night and God put it on my heart again tonight. I'm telling you, the devil will paint a pretty picture and he'll paint all the things of life. But I'm telling you, it ends in tragedy. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. A boy I preached with before, I saw his mugshot today. It ends in tragedy. It's the tear. I showed him in his office right before church. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, Brother Ben, it would be me. And I'm telling you, it ain't because the devil ain't tried. But I'm telling you, we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit because there is a real devil out there. He is working. He is tracking his terror. But then I think about the tearing of Satan. The Bible said that he had that lamb in his mouth, had two legs and a piece of an ear. He's ripped that lamb apart. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to rip you. I know this is Wednesday night. I know this is the backbone of Gateway. But this might be who needs it. You know, the devil don't steal the bad kids. He always takes the good kids. He don't touch the bad marriages. He goes for the good ones. Because he's already got the ones that are headed for divorce court. He's already got the kid that's sneaking out already and mom and daddy don't know it. He's already got them. But I'm telling you, the one he wants these ones that are here on a Wednesday night. He wants your marriage. You've got your family here on a Wednesday night. And he wants to tear your family apart. He has a tearing man. You think about over there in Mark chapter number 9, that man that brought his son to Jesus. And the Bible said that man told Jesus that where the Spirit taketh him, he teareth him. You know what he'll do, young people? He'll tear you away from your parents. He'll tear you away from your preacher. He'll tear you away from your Sunday school teacher. He'll tear you away from the church. He won't do it all at once, Brother Dallas. I don't know why I'm preaching to young people tonight, but just stay with me. What you'll start doing, you'll miss one service here. Tears a little bit off there. And then you used to pray and read your Bible and you'll miss a day and he begins to tear even more and tear even more and tear even more until you're in somewhere you're not supposed to be and you're in a position you should not have been in and your life is wrecked and ruined. You know what happened? It started one piece at a time. The devil began to tear your life apart and you end up in shipwreck if you're not careful and you'll be another statistic on the stats of life. I'm telling you, the devil wants to destroy your life. He hates your guts. He wants to send you. Let me say this. If you're saved, he can't touch your soul. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But I'll tell you what he can do. He can ruin your testimony and bring a shame to the cause of Christ.
I think that's just as worse as going to hell to a certain extent, bringing shame in the name of Christ. I'm saying he wants to tear you apart. He wants to tear. Hey, you adults, he wants to tear you apart, sir, from your wife. Ma'am, he wants to tear you from your husband. He wants to tear you from the preacher. He wants to tell you. Here's how he'll tear you from the church. He'll let that gossiping crowd say, well, I just don't like how they do it down there at Gateway. Well, if they don't like how they do it at Gateway, go somewhere else. You know what they'll do? They're trying to tear you apart. They say it at Safe Harbor, and they want to tear. They want to rip you away from the Bible and rip you away from the things of God. The aggressiveness of Satan. Yes, sir. Number two, knowing the aggressiveness of Satan. Y'all still with me? Yes, sir. Not only I see the aggressiveness of Satan, but I see the affection of the shepherd. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, this shepherd... We find that I believe in picture and type, if you'll allow me to borrow your mind of thought, is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Bible said in the book of John chapter 10, verse number 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. Over there in Hebrews, he said, I'm the great shepherd. And Peter, he said, he's the chief shepherd. But I like what David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad he's the shepherd. And I'm glad he's the chief shepherd. And I'm glad he's the great shepherd. But I'm glad he's my shepherd, praise God. And let me say this, that lamb is in a bad position. The devil has got a hold, the lion's got a hold of his life, and he's ripping his life to shred, and there ain't no hope, and there ain't no help. But aren't you glad the shepherd comes on the scene? And let me say this, don't you remember when your life was in sin and you were half a heartbeat from hell, but then the shepherd showed up in your life and he made a difference. Somebody said, preacher, where do you see the affection of the shepherd? Three things. Number one, I see his affection in his refusal. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, most people would say that lamb, he is, there's only two legs or a piece of an ear left. He's hopeless. There ain't no hope for him. He's gone too far. It's what most people would say, but not this shepherd. He was willing to go. He refused to give up on this little lamb. Aren't you glad God refused to give up on you? Your mom and daddy may have gave up on you. Your friends and neighbors may have gave up on you. But there was a God in glory. He refused to give up. He refused to leave you alone. Aren't you glad he still loved you and cared about you? His refusal. In the Bible talks about Luke chapter 15, that parable of that shepherd. He's counting his sheep 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and he's looking for 100 and he's not there. Somebody would say, well, I got 99 out of 100. That ain't bad. And he's off in the wilderness. It's toward the dark. Ain't no hope, but not like that shepherd. He went looking for him. Time out. Aren't you glad he came looking for you one day? Aren't you glad he refused to leave you in the state of sin you was in? Some of you acting like you've always been perfect. You've never strayed away. You wasn't in the muck and mire of sin, but we was all in the same place. We were all headed for the same hell. Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wage of sin is death. I was in the mouth of Satan, and he was sending me to a place called hell, but there was a shepherd who refused to give up on me. Aren't you glad he never gave up? He never gave up. Hallelujah. His refusal. I know what I see his affection in his refusal, but I also see his affection in his reach. The Bible said that shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion. That means, if I'm understanding that right, that shepherd got down where that lion, that little lamb was. And he grabbed the lion by the head and he reached down out of into the pit of hell, if you would. And he pulled you out. Aren't you glad when he pulled you out? Bible said that shepherd, he went, and when he found that sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, and cometh home. He called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice for me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I'm glad he can reach the repulsive. Aren't you glad Jesus can reach those people that we wouldn't give a second turn to? Come on, we're human. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll turn up our nose at some people. If we're not careful, it's just human nature and pride that's in us. But Jesus never has. I mean, the blind. I mean, he had enough time for that rich young ruler. It was a rich young ruler's fault he didn't get saved. He had time for that rich young ruler. He had time for old begging Bartimaeus. He wouldn't turn anybody away. Boy, that tears the Calvinist nerves up, don't it? The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all, where I come from, all still means all. And he's willing that all should come to repentance. And I'm glad that anybody that wants to, that can come to Christ and he can make a difference in their life. His refusal, his reach. I'm glad one day he reached down his hand for me. He can reach the religious. He can reach the repulsive, but he can reach the religious as well. And that was me. I was religious, but I didn't have a relationship. And there's some of you here tonight. You may be religious, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Religion may keep you out of jail, but it will not keep you out of hell. It may give you a good name in society. It may, others may think good of you. But if you've never been to bloody Calvary, if you've never had the blood wash your sins away and birth you in the family of God, you're headed for the same hell that Charles Manson and the worst sinner in the world is heading to. But he'll reach the religious. I'm telling you, if I was here tonight and I wasn't sure if I'd save and I'd hold on to my pride, I'd let it go. There ain't nobody worth going to hell for. So I said, preacher, what will they people think? What will they say? I know I'm here at Gateway. If you come get saved, they'll say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you want to see revival break out around here. God's people need to get remembering how good it is to be saved. And when the lost crowd sees how happy we are, they'll say, I need some of that. I'm convinced that the reason that most lost people don't want what we got is because it looks like what we got's killing us. I'm so glad I'm saved. Glad my sins are washed away. Boy, you could have fooled me, Droopy. Y'all remember Droopy? You used to come in cartoons, you remember little white doll? You used to come on, hello, all you happy people. I preached for him. I was in a preacher's association the other day. And this preacher got up. Did I tell this the other night? I may have. I don't remember. I've only been here 3 nights. I can't remember what I've told and what I hadn't told. But the preacher said, our church is so dead. And he's dead. And I said respectfully, not to him personally, but to the crowd, I said, if we're not excited about being there, don't expect them to be excited about being there. Let me say this, and let me encourage these young preachers. You know who ought to be the top, number one amenist when your preacher's preaching? You. Somebody said, that ain't my gear. Make it your gear. You want somebody to help you while you preach, help somebody else while they preach. Because if you'll get excited that God saved you, and then especially you preachers, that he called you to preach. Paul said he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And somebody get, it won't matter who it is, but you'll be sitting on the edge of your seat and say, God touch him, God fill him, God use him. When you get it, God will take notice of that. I'm afraid the reason we need revival so much is we forget what God done for us. I'm afraid some of you's turned me off because I'm preaching on salvation, because preacher, I know all about that. That's our problem. We know all about it and we ain't learned nothing about it. Sometimes, and I'm not scolding you, I'm just trying to encourage you and stir your hearts tonight to remember his refusal, his reach. But then I see his rescue. The Bible said that he rescued that lamb out of the mouth of the lion. Aren't you glad he rescued you? And I'm glad when he saved me, it wasn't the last time that he rescued me. I'm glad he's helped me more than once. I've been like Peter before, beginning to sink, and I begin to call on the Lord. And he rescued me just in time. Aren't you glad for there's the aggressiveness of Satan, and there's the affection of the shepherd. The Bible said, in that rescue, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up. I like them. We sung that. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Aren't you glad he lifted you up? Y'all have heard this. Let me give you this last one. I'll give you this story. I ain't going to be long. I'm only 20 minutes into it. I've cut half the time off tonight, Brother Dallas. Amen. There's the amazement, the aggressiveness of Satan, the affection of the shepherd. But here's what I want to get to, I want to close with. There's the amazement of the sheep. See, I told you there's three characters in these two verses. There's a shepherd, there's a lion,
But sometimes we're forgetful to remember there's a lamb in this verse. And that lamb, I believe, as we've already said, pictures you and I, lost without God. Somebody said, "Preacher, why would this little lamb be amazed at what the shepherd done for him?" I'm glad you asked, because I won't tell you anyway. Number one, he was glad at the distance that the shepherd went.
Yeah.
You know, in Luke chapter 15, it talks about that shepherd. He left the fold. He left the 99. That fold was his home, his residence. But he left his residence and went out into a far country to find that lamb. Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as would receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. In those verses, you see the greatest trip. He came. Aren't you glad that when you could not come to where he was, that he came to you? Y'all probably heard this illustration. Preachers have told it for years, but I remember hearing a story about a preacher. He's making some visits on a Saturday morning, and he pulled up in this man's yard. And if you've heard this story before, just act like you hadn't, and it'll make me feel better. Amen. When I get disappointed, I preach 20 extra minutes just for therapy. So if you don't like this story, that's 20 minutes in the penalty box, all right? But he was making some visits, Brother Ben, like pastors do. And he pulled up in the yard, and there was this man spraying a dog with a water hose. And that dog was just jumping around and acting crazy. I mean, just acting nuts, just crazy. And that guy rolled the window down. He said, "Hey, is something wrong with that dog?" He said, "I'm kind of scared of dogs." He said, "Is he crazy?" He said, "No, he's not crazy." He said, "He's just excited." He said, "You don't know what just happened to him." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well," he said, "my septic tank backed up. He said, I had to have it pumped." He said, "So they come out here and they pulled the lid off that septic tank and they was pumping that septic tank. There's about 30 minutes into it and all of a sudden the truck broke." And the guy said, "Look, sir," he said, "I got to go back and get another truck." He said, "I'm going to leave the lid off that septic tank." He said, "So don't go near there. The lid's off of it." And the guy said, "Ain't no problem." He said, "I'll be back in about 30 minutes. He said, "Now finish the job." And the guy said, "That'll be fine." And that guy said, the guy left and that lid was off that septic tank. And that old, he was just a Heinz 57 dog. A little bit of everything was laid on the porch, just an old mutt. And all of a sudden, a squirrel took out across the yard. And there ain't a squirrel from here to torment that ain't going to chase. There ain't a dog from here to torment that ain't going to chase a squirrel. If he's a real dog. Now, if you have one of these little things you can put in your purse and it yip-yaps, that's not a dog. In North Carolina, we call that a rat. Now, if you got one, I ain't not. You thought you got a dog. It's actually a rat. I just wanted to help you out. I'm treading on thin ice right there. This was a dog, and he took off running. Some of y'all have them. I can tell by looking at you. Yeah. Like a woman preacher. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad this probably good. It's my last night. And that dog took off across the yard for that squirrel. And about the time he topped that ridge, that squirrel jumped the septic tank, but that dog wasn't so lucky. He went to jump, and when he did, he realized there wasn't no ground, and he started doing this in midair, trying to back up, and went right down in that muck and that mire, that septic tank. About 20 feet down in there, the guy said, we walked over there, he said, "It was my son's dog," and he walked over and said, "Daddy," he said, "what are we going to do about him?" He said, "The dog was struggling, he was so scared." He said, "Son, he ain't worth nothing." He said, "But if you love him, you're going to have to go get him." He said, so my son walked in the garage and grabbed the ladder off the wall. Walked over there, put on his fishing waders, stuck that ladder down in that septic tank, and walked down and climbed down that ladder and all that muck and that mire to get that dog out of that septic tank. And he said, "Preacher, the first couple times my boy reached for him, the dog nipped at him and bit at him and was so scared. But finally he just gave up, and my boy lifted him out of there." He said, "And I've been taking this water hose and I washed him off." And he said, "He's been excited and jumped around ever since." He said, "And I guess if you had been where he was and somebody had come down and got you, you'd act like that too." Whether you know it or not, you was in the septic tank of sin. And God said he ain't much, Jesus, but if you love him, you have to go get him. For God so loved the world, and we ain't much. But aren't you glad he walked over the banister of glory and took the ladder of grace off the wall and stuck it down, and he climbed down and picked us up, and he lifted us out, and he took the water hose of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he washed all my sins away, and I can't help but be excited and thank God that he saved me. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, I just ain't that emotional."
Anybody ever watch Price is Right? You watch Price is Right, sister? You've seen it before. Bob Barker, he was so much better than Drew Carey. I love Bob Barker. You know, if his preaching thing don't work out, it's my job to be the host on Price is Right. That's my dream. I want to hold that little microphone and, you know, a new car. I practiced it. I ride down the road practicing, a new car. I got it, man. That dude ever kicks the bucket, I'm going to have a job. I love watching that show. And the main reason I love watching it is how the people act. They don't sit there like they're Anglo-Saxon Presbyterian, Dutch Presbyterian. They don't sit there like this. They'll get up there and they'll call a name. You know, we're in South Carolina. They're sitting out there, Jim Bob Cooter. You know what he does? He don't go, well, they call my name. They call my name. All right, I'm going to go up there. If you ever watch Price is Right, you know they don't do that. When they call that boy's name, he jumps up. He runs down the aisle. He's hugging people he don't even know, shaking hand, running all the way down. I mean, he's screaming, hollering, and gets up behind that podium and says, I bid $1. He ain't even won anything yet. They just called his name. Now, how come we have everything that Christ has given us? And I preach it Monday night. We ain't going to shout every service, but we ain't going to sit there dead every service either. Jesus came and got us, and we summon there and sing. Bless me if you can. We ought to come to church like we're at the Price is Right. Say, one day he called my name, and I came on down to an altar. That's where I learned how to give an invitation. Come on down. Amen. And I came on down to an altar, and I got saved by the grace of God, and I can't help but get excited and remember that the distance that he came for me, the distance of the shepherd, the danger involved. I'm about done. That lamb, that shepherd pulling that lamb out of the mouth of the lion, it was almost like that shepherd was willing to sacrifice himself for that lamb. Because there was danger involved. And Jesus did sacrifice himself so that we might go free. The distance involved, the danger involved, but then there's the desire involved. The Bible said that he taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. Now, Brother Eddie Davis taught me to do this. When you preach on something, you got to be able to defend it. And somebody said, preacher, that lamb is dead. There's only two legs or a piece of an ear left. Well, I got that too. The Bible said we were dead in trespasses and sin. Right. So I was in the same place he was. Yes, and he didn't have much left. Just two legs or a piece of an ear. But the shepherd said, that's okay. I'll take it. Now, let me say this. If you're young, you don't have to go out. I preached that last night. Give God everything you've got. But if you're here tonight and the devil's tore your life apart, and he's took the best years of your life, and somebody said, preacher, I would come to Jesus, but I have nothing left. You bring what you got. The song did say, just as I am. You just come, and he'll take you just like you are. He did say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He didn't say two. He just had a piece of an ear left, but he could hear the voice of the shepherd. And aren't you glad he came and found you one day? Some of y'all to go back in your mind tonight when Jesus saved you and washed your sins away, birthed you in the family of God. I'll close with this. Somebody said, preacher, right here in the middle of Amos, right here in the middle of Amos, there's so much judgment. There's so much condemnation. There's so much sin that's going to be judged. It seems like sin is abounding and the judgment of God is going to fall in the book of Amos. That's exactly right. And what America's done, the millions of babies we've aborted, and the sin that this nation has condoned on and on and on and on, has put America under the judgment of God. And sin is abounding in this world. But I got good news. The Bible says, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. May I illustrate what that means? Bible said where sin did abound. Yep, sin looks bad. And sin is terrible and it's awful and sin is abounding. But the Bible said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Somebody said, it's bad in this world, preacher. Yes, it is. There's a lot of sin. Yes, it is. But grace, I'll clean it up later. Grace does much more abound, and it's getting stuck, praise God. Thank God that grace will much more abound. And let me say this, the world fights you and comes against you on a daily basis. And sometimes you wonder, am I going to make it through another day? All this sin, all this wickedness, it's on the TV, it's on the computer, it's on the billboard, it's all around me. But you remember, God's grace is still sufficient, and God's still there and right in the middle of judgment and right in the middle of condemnation, there's a God full of grace and mercy, thank God. They sung it Monday night. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's grace for every need? There's grace for when you didn't even know if you was going to make it or not. There's grace. Amen, Sister Stewart, there's grace. Amen, there's grace, Brother Mayo, for every need. Is the person that cleans the church here tonight? Well, just let them know there's grace. Amen. I borrowed that illustration from a preacher, and he's preaching here soon, so I hope he don't use it. If he does, he got it from me. Here's what I'm saying. Yes, it looks bad in this world. And yes, it looks awful. And yes, sometimes, I used to say when I worked a job, like pastoring's not working a job, but when I work public work, especially, and you kids going to school, man, you hear all that sin and all that wickedness every day. But I got news for you. It may be bad, but God's got grace. He can drop in your lap. You know what, on this closing night of revival, I think it's good to roll back the curtain of memory now and then and see where God brought you from and where you could have been. Should have been in hell, Brother Dallas. And I should have been right there living next door to you. But you got a Bible in your lap, Jesus in your heart, God called you to preach. That's amazing grace. Amen. Bubba, you should have grew up in a drunkard's home. Should have grew up in a life where you in a home where your daddy beat your mama and it was all wickedness, but you had a daddy for a preacher, an old time preacher. You ought to thank God for that. Some of you young people, you have a good family, you have a good mom and a good dad. Some of you even got a good wife, ladies, you got a good husband, and you ought to remember it wasn't supposed to be that way. The devil had a plan for your life, but God butted in and made a difference. His plan was to rip your life apart, but God butted in. Tell you this and I'm done. My great-grandpa on my grandma's side was a drunk. Ran moonshine down in Georgia. I mean, a wicked man. He died in a drunken stupor and went to hell. My grandma was 13 years old. She may be watching tonight. I don't know. My grandma was 13 years old. My great-grandpa, he grew produce down in Hogansville, Georgia, and they drive up to Atlanta about 75 miles to sell it at the fruit stand, the fruit farmer's market. And then he'd go spend all the money and get drunk. And my grandma, 12, 13 years old, had to drive that truck all the way home to Hogansville, Georgia. Wicked man. Died and went to hell. But my great-grandpa on my papaw side was an old-time Holy Ghost Baptist preacher. And great-grandpa Jones, he started 15 churches in the metro Atlanta area. God would never let him stay. He's a circuit ride. He started a church, get it established, Brother Mayo, get a preacher in there, and God moved him down the road. He started another one. And all of them are still going today. And I believe in that generational curse to a certain extent. I could have been a drunk, or I could have been a preacher. I promise you, if I wasn't a preacher tonight, I'd be a drunk. But aren't you glad that just in time God came in your life, pulled you out of the mouth of the lion and saved you by the grace of God. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone, without God or His Son when He reached down His hand for me. If you're here tonight and you're lost, He wants to save you. Boy, wouldn't that be a great way to crown this meeting, somebody getting saved? God's pulling at your heart tonight. Don't wait. When Brother Tim begins that first stands, that first invitation, you come, give your life to Christ. I promise you, you'll never be sorry that you came to Jesus. You may have your role on Gateway Baptist Church's roll, but you ain't got your name on Heaven's roll. I'd get it settled tonight. Get it settled. The gospel according to Amos. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Your pastor's coming. Tried to obey the Lord tonight. Maybe you just want to come together on these altars tonight and thank God that He came and found you. Yeah. Saved you by the grace of God. Pulled you out of the mouth of the lion. Made a difference in your life. Whatever your need is tonight. Hey, if you're here tonight that's lost, you're among friends tonight. Jesus wants to save you and make a difference in your life. Your pastor's coming. God bless you.